Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
They just couldn't wait, could they? No sooner do we finish a week where we brought you three shows than the club sacks a manager after just one game and a former FA head honcho buys a club in League Two. Now, so much for Huddersfield being my tip for the Championship dark horse this season. I'm well used to my predictions blowing up in my face, as you know, but this certainly sets a new record. Now, Huddersfield fans, we'll wait until the dust has settled and a new man is appointed before we assess your prospects. But what about the aforementioned League Two takeover? The club in question is Tranmere Rovers, who on Monday morning announced that former FA chief executive Mark Palios and his wife Nicola completed a deal to purchase a controlling stake in the club from previous owner Peter Johnson. So, what does this mean for the future of Tranmere? Who better to ask than Mark Palios himself, the new executive chairman of Tranmere Rovers? And I started by asking him how this deal came about and, more importantly, why they decided to get involved.
People ask me, was it an emotional decision? Certainly that was the start of it. It was an emotional decision. I'd come with my wife to see some friends at the club towards the end of last season, and they'd had well-publicised troubles off the pitch and also on the pitch that they'd been affected by that. And the last game of the season, they basically, in the last 10 minutes of the season, I think it was, when I think Notts County scored and Tranmere conceded, they went down. So at the time, we were driving back through France, and I sort of said, I think that could be very dangerous because they could just sort of slip straight through Div 2 and into the Conference the way things were. So when we got, my wife said to me, why don't you do something about it? And so when we got back, we rang Peter Johnson, explained what we wanted to try and do, and over the course of the next 2 months, we came to a deal with him that enabled us to sort of take the club forwards. The answer was yes, it was emotional to start with, but it was then a sort of a business decision, in the sense that I think the Tranmere can be of all the sort of the lower league clubs, they're one of the ones that can actually make it with a self-sustainable model in developing players and being at the heart of the community. Tranmere is in the middle of a hotbed of football interest on Merseyside, and I see the two big sides on Merseyside as friends rather than enemies. We're not fighting them for fans, therefore it was one of the clubs that we thought we could help.
As you mentioned there, Peter Johnson, previous owner, he's been in charge for a long time, since 1987. Does he leave the club in a decent position for you to come in and take over now?
Yes, I mean, Peter's been a fantastic supporter of the club. I mean, I was never sitting down in the south thinking, well, you know, I'd like to go back and take over the club one day, because Peter he's been a benefactor in the traditional sense, and he's put his hand in his pocket has funded, you know, some of the best times, well, the best times that the club has had in its 100-odd-year history. So in that regard, I think the fans do respect what Peter's done for the club. I think they also respect that he wasn't prepared just to sell the club to somebody who was coming along on a property play or anything like that. And he said many times to me that he didn't want somebody who was just going to take the ground into his own personal possession and do a property play, etc. He wanted somebody who would care for the club and look after the club, and we're flattered to think that he thinks that we can do that. And he's a guy who has, they've been to Wembley was their second home for a period during the sort of the 90s and just after the turn of the millennium. So they went there so many times, and the fans absolutely loved it. And everybody, when you walk around the club now, you can see the pictures of those times that he brought to the club. And I think that we just have to respect that Peter had got to the stage whereby it was time for him to move away from the club, and respect the fact that even when he did that, he was very generous. He's written off his loans to the club, which gives the club a better balance sheet with which to work.
Now, people will be familiar, I'm sure, with some of your background, particularly your time at the FA as chief executive, but perhaps not so much with your wife, Nicola, who, of course, is involved in this deal with you. It's not just yourself taking on this ownership. So what will she bring to the party?
Well, I would say, but Nicky's a very accomplished lawyer, and she's not just a lawyer, she's a commercial person who has successfully built a business and sold that around the law firm, but also a fund administration business, and she's a director of a number of other companies. But in addition to that, she has a real heart's in sport, in as much that she was an Oxford Blue rowing, but as I keep saying to people, she was the cox doing all the shouting, other people doing all the heavy lifting. So, you know, and she's now a director of British Rowing, and her family has a linkage to sport. Her father's one of the council members at the RFU. So she has an affinity for sport, which is very important, as well as a good business background. And she will help to develop certain aspects of the club that we want to develop. We've got to develop this club off the pitch, because, you know, if you keep doing the same things and you expect a different outcome, I mean, that's one of the definitions of madness. So we've got to develop the club off the pitch, and there's certain areas that, you know, she will be looking at specifically, especially the linkage of the club with the community, and also, you know, the development of women's football. Tommy used to have one of the best women's football teams, ladies' football teams in the country, and that seems to have withered on the vine now, so that can be re-energized and generated. And of course, you know, if you can do that, then you produce mothers who will bring their children to the club in years to come. So it's all part and parcel of the development off the pitch that Nicky will be helping with. She certainly won't be helping to buy players or or even turning out for the team. So she's got a lot to add.
And, of course, what about yourself? As I mentioned, you were chief executive of the Football Association, most prominently, but that's not just your only involvement in sport. But how will that experience help you to move Tranmere forward?
I think one of the difficulties, I mean, in terms of the experience at the FA, well, you get to know quite a lot of people who you can have conversations with if you want to open up some of the bigger, you know, visionary projects that you want to. So you know people in bodies like Sport England, UK Sport. You can speak to quite a number of the senior guys at different clubs if you want to create relationships with those clubs. So it will open doors in that way. But equally, you know, when you're there at the FA, you stand and look at the problems that the game has, and you try to sort of find solutions to it. I think that will help in terms of the broader perspective and understanding. I think my time as a player is also quite helpful, because if you actually look at most clubs, there has always been a gap between the boot room and the boardroom, and I think they try and solve that by the introduction of a football director and so forth, and stripping down the job that used to be the old manager's job. But that has worked it hasn't worked tremendously well in British clubs yet. But with my background, having been in the dressing room for over 17 years, then, you know, I can sit and talk to Rob, the manager, about various things, and we do already. And equally with my background with British Judo, where I have, with Clive Woodward and Dave Redding, who's a sports scientist, now gone to the FA, and he was with the RFU when they were successful in the World Cup. We rewrote the, we made a report which recommended how the Judo Association should train its elite athletes, and with the help of the chairman there, Gareth Brown, we, in the course of the last sort of 2 years, have put together a performance centre which has all the sports science elements which you don't find so much in football down the lower leagues. So we will bring that to the party. And I'll just say, you know, the British Judo Association, the Brits took virtually all the medals in the judo at the Commonwealth Games. So, you know, they know a bit about what they're doing. And that type of thing helps to, you know, maybe add to what Rob is doing down on the ground, and at least gives him an understanding, because I've been out there on the pitch and understand it when, you know, there's a lack of confidence in the players, etc., and that type of thing. So I think, you know, there is a good relationship to be built with the manager.
You played over 280 times for Tranmere. And I've been looking at the reaction from fans on Twitter and social media, and it seems as though it's universally positive. Everyone's happy that you're a man that knows about the club, who's got the club at heart. How important is it that you've already got that relationship with Tranmere?
Well, you know, I'll be blunt. I wouldn't have done this for any other club. I'd set my steerage for the next 10 years of my life. It's certainly not about sort of being involved in running a football club. And as executive chairman, I will be involved on a day-to-day basis. And that was only because it was Tranmere Rovers. I'm delighted that the fans have had the response that they've had. But I've said talk's cheap, and therefore it's for me and Nicky to go away and now start to deliver off the pitch. And in the meantime, it's for Rob to get the results on the pitch. Albeit, I'd say they need to be a bit patient because we're not bringing Abramovich's money to the club. We're not going to be investing heavily in the team in the very short term to take us up, because that's as I say, that's a route to penury in the end. And therefore, we hope that they will start to see differences in the coming months that mean that we're developing the club off the pitch that gives a sustainable base for the performance on the pitch, and gradually we will start to move back to the potential that Tranmere has. And who knows where it goes from there. But for now, it's fantastic to see the support of the club. We got relegated last year, and yet we had the sort of second highest gate on Saturday at the first game of the season, and that just shows you. And Rob said to me, having come to the club, you just feel it's a bigger club than where it is at the moment, and I agree entirely with that.
Sammy, what would your ambition be? Obviously, short term, I think you've got to get in and assess the situation, and as you said, you don't want to drop through the divisions. I suppose a period of stability is required at this stage. But long term, how far back up the pyramid do you think Tranmere can realistically get in the current financial climate?
Yeah, I mean, it's your definition of long term, I suppose. I mean, I certainly think on where we are with the club and in my time here, Tranmere is not a Div 2 club, it's a Div 1 club at least, and certainly it's been in the Premiership, and I think we can get it back into the Premiership. Sorry, it's into the Championship and back into the Championship. From there, it becomes a different kettle of fish, because to make the leap into the Premiership means another step change in how you do things, and you won't do it through organic growth particularly, which means you've probably got to sort of at some stage get another phase of funding into the club. Indeed, just where we are today, we're looking at trying to get a second phase of funding once we start to get some traction off the pitch, once we start to develop the ideas and the things that people can see can work and prepare to associate with. Then, we're looking for a second phase of funding anyway, but that's to get us into the Championship effectively. From there to the Premiership, well, you've got to be able to be storing things in the club in terms of cash, in terms of balance sheet, and that's a difficult task and a difficult balance, but it's not impossible. But today I wouldn't be talking in terms of the Championship. I wouldn't waste my breath on that. Sorry, the Premiership. I would be looking for, in a few years' time, to get us out of Division 1 and into the Championship.
Do you have a view on how something like the recent proposals from Greg Dyke to do with the potential of B teams and a League 3 and strategic loan partnerships could affect a club like Tranmere? Because as you said, you've got many clubs in the northwest nearby, Everton, Liverpool being the most obvious ones. Tranmere, in a way, now could benefit from taking players from those clubs on loan. But in the future, if there was a Liverpool B or an Everton B, that might not happen. And the future for a club like Tranmere could really be changed by these proposals if they were to be introduced.
I think the A and B teams are already, you've seen the response from the industry, and I'm entirely aligned with that. I just don't think it's a good idea. We saw on Saturday the Tranmere team, who had looked fantastic, playing a great style of football, playing in pre-season friendlies, and that's my point, that if you play in a pre-season friendly or in the antiseptic leagues that are the A and B team leagues, as I understand it, then it's a totally different kettle of fish when you're playing in front of a paying gate from people who have had that they don't earn a lot of money, but they put a lot aside to come and watch the game, and it's a totally different amount of pressure on you. And I talk to people in the game, and the danger is that they haven't actually played and experienced that, and they just say, "Oh, come and see, it's fabulous style of football in our under 21s league." But actually, they're administrators who've never played it, they've never been there, and then when they try to find the player isn't there because he's just hiding 2 yards the wrong side of another player because he doesn't want to receive the ball. And because he's under pressure and doesn't want to lose it, and it is something that you can't translate to people unless you've been there. So I think the B team idea is absolutely, I think it's been canned, and I just don't think that was a good idea at all. And that was a Me Too strategy. They looked abroad and decided that this is something that works abroad. Well, yeah. strategies are not really the best way to go about things. The different set of circumstances. We have over here something that nobody else has, and that is a competitive professional pyramid. And as a basis of that, that's what I think should be used to be bringing players forward and being the finishing school, adding that touch that they can't get in the antiseptic surroundings of these sort of B-team or A-team games. And you know, that then takes me to the strategic loan partnerships. And strategic loan partnerships, I think, has something to it. And indeed, that's what we will be trying to do with Tranmere. But we'll do it on our terms at this point in time, because I don't think that idea has been thought through. But we can actually have relationships with the larger clubs, or have one relationship with the larger clubs. The only thing I would say is, and this is a commitment to the fans, that if we do that, then we don't ever surrender the ambition of Tranmere Rovers Football Club to always be a development club. But at this stage in our development, that may well fit, and that's what we would do.
And of course, I mean, the true barometer of success, you can talk about developing the club off the pitch and everything, but, you know, what the fans will be interested in immediately is how they perform on the pitch. And are you hopeful of a successful, positive season for Rob Edwards and his team this season?
Yes, I am. And indeed, being aware of that, I mean, I hadn't chosen Rob as the manager. You know, he was choosing his own squad. It was all done before I came in. But one of the things that I did do was to talk to him before we came in to understand what his plans were, and they seemed sensible. I like the way he set about the job. I like the way he sets up the team. And all we could do in the circumstances was to make sure that we had sufficient money put aside, that if things were not going well on the pitch, then you cover off that contingency and you could supplement the squad. And that's what we have. We've got sufficient to help him with his squad during the course of the season, cognizant of the fact that, you know, he needs to really get a good start to the season, because by October we've had a third of our games through, and that really sets the tone for the rest of the season. So yes, it's right, and that's why, you know, you'd have to be very cautious when you say it is about results. You have to be cautious, because unlike any other business, that's the one thing that creates the greatest variable in the business. You can't predict as easily as you can other businesses what's going to happen. So when you look at this, you say, fine, let's be cautious about it, but let's be cautiously optimistic. And, you know, I like what I've seen so far, but I understand that Rob still has a few more additions to make to the squad, and that's what we'll cover off.
Mark, thanks very much for joining us. Good luck for the rest of the season and for your time at Tranmere Rovers.
Thanks very much.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.